This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You can't put deodorant on funk.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents
The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty and the show, as well as Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, has the latest. And the latest is, one, all the blonde, I believe, is going out of my hair now. It is completely,
man.
You still see some?
Absolutely.
Really?
Almost every one of them that was blonde, just, I mean, there's, it is, it's just a gold
it's
shimmer.
Faint,
just a
faint.
Gold shimmer in the top.
I thought he cut it out.
Yeah, the crazy thing, it's far enough away from like your forehead to where it's almost like the same brown that's in your skin tone.
It looks like you got gold dusted.
I don't know how you don't keep that, man. It is tremendous. I mean, it just, and with those glasses, those turtle shell glasses, I mean, that's good. That's good. Tortoise shell, turtle shell.
Going for the clear ones next.
Glasses? I'm going to tell you, my eyes are getting worse by the minute. I got to do something.
Oh, you think so?
No, I know so. I got to do something. I can't even read my phone.
Can you imagine cleaning glasses?
Not even for half a second.
But I also feel like Clint would
I think it could work it, though.
Yeah, he could work it. I also think Clint would have a hard time putting contacts.
Yes, I would have a very difficult time doing that.
I feel like Clint would have a hard time because I can't.
LASIK would have to be my. Is going.
Ooh,
to be my,
yeah, he's thinking about doing that, and I'm
absolutely
scared to do it. Not, well,
yeah, that freaks me out.
There's another deal right there, folks. LASIK right there. that is the one product I've consistently been proposed to do. Hey, you want to do LASIK? No, I'm out.
Scary, oh, man.
Clint's your guy to bang out LASIK right there. All right, the latest is the Rockets. The Rockets, they started back over the weekend, mixed bag. They won the first matchup Friday at home. They took out Anthony Edwards and the Wolves, and that was a big one. The Wolves were in the seventh spot, two games behind them. They were able to win that game 121-115. Jalen Green was great in that game. But then they had a back-to-back to Utah, one of the worst teams in the NBA, and they lose that game and blow a second-half lead. They lose it 124-115. So they're 1-1 since the break. And I think right now what is happening is that is what we've started to see from game to game, sometimes half to half, Clint, here of late, is there has been a real, you said it earlier, Jekyll and Hyde type of a feel. Really inconsistent to me has been the number one thing of note with this Rockets team, and I'd say the last month now, especially since Fred VanVleet has been out.
Yeah, look, Ron, I mean, you got a young team that's got pieces in and out because of injury, pieces in and out of every game, and when they're back to back, you have no Fred VanVleet, you have no Tari Eason. You're obviously cutting minutes of other guys that played an extended period of time the night before. And so there's just so many moving parts, so many different pieces, along with no top-end superstar that any given night can go get it. I said it before, man, and we talked about it multiple times. Like, with this team, They just flat, Ron, they've got to have everybody available, or there's a potential of the wheels coming off fairly early in games. Tari Eason, right? You get Jabari Smith back, and I don't know if it's the All-Star break and the rest and the fresh legs or Jabari Smith, but the team was lights out. Now, you also had Tari Eason. The next night, Tari Eason's out. It's painful that Fred VanVleet is not in the game, and you're seeing the results of these important pieces missing, right? I'm with you. I thought early on that they would have been able to weather the storm of certain guys being out or maybe just the team not being whole. But the reality of it is it doesn't have to be Fred VanVleet. It doesn't have to be Alperen Şengün. It does it's just any one or two of the main eight guys that rotate through there. Any of those guys missing, this team feels it worse than most teams. And to your point, Fred VanVleet seems to be the guy that can just steady the waters and calm the court at any moment in time. And without him, you just don't have that. And so you obviously, and as fans, we can obviously see them missing him. But again, I'll go back to the point of, they obviously watched for an extended period of time how they missed Jabari Smith. And the two games that we've watched since the All-Star break, like Fred VanVleet, obviously missing, but Tari Eason wasn't there, and you saw how that hurt this team in the rotation in the second game. So, man, it's crazy how this team is just, when they're whole, they got a real chance. When they're not, there ain't no telling what team shows up out there.
Yeah, I think Fred is starting to show to be one of the more
fair,
important pieces. And I mean, it's not like we haven't talked about it. I mean, you've said that as well, and we've talked about it in the past of. Like, yeah, you can just – it feels different when he is on the floor just managing things. It feels differently. Yeah. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Udoka's been more and more expressive of it. Just we just aren't playing to where we need to play. We're not playing to the fabric of what this team is built on, and they're not doing it. And I think you can kind of connect a lot of that with Fred VanVleet not being there. And I'm just surprised that this group couldn't be consistent enough to have a game against the Timberwolves where with whoever the guards are, whoever the guys that you're running offense through, which is usually Green, Şengün. I am just surprised that it's so up and down, and that they would get in a game, even if a back-to-back, they would get into a game against the Utah Jazz, one of the worst teams in the league, and you see that up and down, that just inability to run offense, just firing threes like they're a good three. They should not – the Rockets shouldn't be getting close to 50 threes against anybody. Damn sure in a game – against they just beat Minnesota, a playoff level team, shooting 26 threes, and then you turn around and shoot 48, right, against the Jazz. So that part to me is something where you can really see them missing their point guard.
The interesting thing too, Ron, is with a young team like this that is again without that superstar, it's less about the ceiling when they're whole and more about the floor when they're missing somebody, right? That floor just has the potential to sink, to your point. What would you say earlier? Utah's got 13 or 14 wins this year? Like that was a bad basketball team that took you to task. I mean, that floor just has the potential with this team, for some reason or another, to drop big time in any given moment. Obviously, that's not going to fare well in a 7-game series or any kind of playoff series if you do end up getting there. So hopefully they can get that figured out, man.
Let's go, Rockets.
5 o'clock fire.
Well, I sure hope Maldon's playing baseball somewhere this year. Or maybe he's got the coaching. All right. The combine is coming up. That'll be the next big thing on the NFL calendar. And, Clint, we've already seen a couple of folks. Abdul Carter, who was thought to be potentially the number one pick out of Penn State, is not going to work out.
Yeah.
And Ashton Jeanty, the running back, top running back, is not going to work out. And Shedeur Sanders is choosing not to work out. It seems like this is being more and more of a popular thing.
Yep.
And it used to be just quarterbacks. Now we're seeing all of these, like all guys, anybody up at the top. You think this is a potential mistake by any of these guys not participating at the combine? Because to me, Shedeur is odd. He is, to me, right now behind Ward. And I would imagine any of these situations would improve his chance.
Well, I think it's hard to backslide if you don't show up to the combine. All you can do is stay the same or improve your stock because somebody else doesn't perform well or they find, they don't meet well, something, right? I am curious because Shedeur Sanders and Deion, I would have bet if somebody walked up and randomly said, "Hey man, you think Prime and Shedeur throw at the combine?" I said, "I'll bet a house no, they do."
You'd have thought they did.
The mindset of you roll a ball out, I'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime is the vibe that I get from Shedeur Sanders and Deion Sanders and what he's created in Colorado. To bypass the opportunity to go out there and do what you love and what you do two or three times a week with a trainer. I would think that Shedeur Sanders would be a guy that would be chomping at the bit to get out there and throw. Now, I wonder, because there's a lot of opinions out there right now. And I know I've seen a couple of different guys that I think are well-respected draft gurus and quarterback analysts. I've seen two different guys now have the opinion that Cam Ward is separating from Shedeur Sanders. And there's some conversation about Shedeur Sanders is in a normal year with your normal quarterback talent would be a late first, early second round draft pick. Now, I don't know how much I believe. Now, that kind of conversation doesn't surprise me about Shedeur Sanders, to be completely honest with you. It would shock me about Cam Ward given the his strengths and kind of the way he spins it around. But the reality of it is I wonder how much of this, of Shedeur Sanders announcing that he's not going to throw at the combine, I wonder how much of that is because of the negative reports or the negative analysis that he's receiving of late. And it's like, you know what, we're better off not throwing and letting it ride.
I think it's certainly calculated for some particular reason. Yeah. I'm just surprised. You know, generally, Caleb Williams, you're like, all right, man, he'll throw.
Right,
like he ain't gonna, I mean, he won't throw. He's the number one overall pick. Everybody knows it. He don't need to throw. All he does is hurt himself. Why not just say, hey, man, I'm gonna grab my guys at my pro day and where I'm comfortable and where I'm in more control, and I'll throw it there, which I think a lot of guys are starting to do more. I do think when you are the one coming from behind, when you are the second one, that's a way you can improve yourself. You could be seen. But honestly, the way it's going, it almost feels like the meeting with the teams are bigger than the throwing.
No question.
And as long as he's going to do that, that's what it's really.
Yeah.
Throw all of your concentration in the meet those sit-down meetings at the combine that you're going to have with the team and the interview and the presser you're going to have. Those seem to be bigger for top guys anyway.
No question about it, Ron. No, there's zero doubt about it. It is interesting, and it's because I still struggle with the way the game's changing, right, as it pertains to evaluating quarterbacks. Like, typically, you look at these two quarterbacks. I would say Cam Ward, you do not throw. Like, just based off your mechanics, based off the way that the film you have, based off the resume that you have, I think based off of the offenses that you've been in, like, I wouldn't risk going out there and having to throw the ball with your feet, anticipate, layer the football across the field, and get picked apart. Like, if I'm Cam Ward, I wouldn't do that, right? But Shedeur Sanders is a guy that's his strong suit, right? So Shador's a guy that I would say, let's go do it. Right? The old school three-step, five-step, seven-step drops, throwing the dig in the hole and laying it over the linebacker and underneath the safety. Laying the five-step speed cut out right on the sideline. Get it up early with a little bit of air and layer it on the sideline. Like, those are all things that Shedeur Sanders, one, I know has been coached to do since he was young. And because I think Jeff Blake was his quarterback coach coming up with Prime, and he's pro, old school pro style. And two, I just I know I his mechanic from a mechanic standpoint, that would be their strong. That would be a way to showcase Shedeur Sanders, like his mechanics and his technique and his ability. And so but none of that matters in NFL anymore, right? Nobody's like being overly critical of a guy's ability to layer the dig route or to lay the speed cut out right on the sideline. I watch it and I'm like, I watch Will Levis and I'm like, this is trash. Like, this guy can't layer it. He can't anticipate. He can't, like, there's zero, like, anticipation with accuracy. But nobody cares. You still get drafted in the first round.
He can't play. It doesn't matter.
So
that's why for him, it's what kind of dude are we getting?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the bigger thing for him.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. This reports out. The Green Bay Packers are the team that submitted a proposal to the NFL Competition Committee to ban the tush push, which is made famous by Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles.
What's up, Bird Gang?
There you go. And we've seen other teams do it. I think Mark Andrews has been the guy doing it with the Ravens. And we've seen other teams attempt it. Do you think this thing needs to be taken out of the game?
Hell no. No, you can't. I mean, these teams are built. Their quarterbacks, most importantly, are built to do this better than the Peyton Manning built quarterbacks. These teams have worked tirelessly to get this down, get it done the right way. It's an advantage that these bigger bodied quarterbacks have. It's
like
you can't look at something and go, boy, this is unstoppable. So let's just take it out of the game. You don't do it with any other style of quarterback. You don't do it with any other plays or any other schemes in football. I think it would be bad. To Ron, real quick, to put some numbers to your thought. The push sneaks in general since 2022, the Bills and the Eagles, the two big bodied quarterbacks, 163 attempts. The rest of the NFL, 153 attempts. So two teams versus 30 teams. They've done more. 87% conversion for the Bills and the Eagles. 71% conversion for the rest of the NFL. 38 touchdowns for the Bills and the Eagles. 14 touchdowns for the rest of the NFL. So the Bills and the Eagles are definitely the best two teams about it. I don't think there's any coincidence that their quarterbacks are either the strongest guy on the planet in Jalen Hurts or a 260-pound quarterback in Josh Allen. No, I don't. I think they should leave it alone.
Tyler, you think they should change it?
No. Adapt or die.
Like, I think
figure it out for your own self.
Yeah, I think there's no figuring it out. I think the one part that I think needs to be looked at to me is the part where you can line up your running back, your tight ends, or whoever it is behind them, and they are shoving the quarterback forward themselves. To me, that's the part where I just, like, I think is where you got no shot, is they're coming right off the ball, and they are getting behind the quarterback and pushing them forward through. At that point, I just think you got no chance. To me, that's the only part
that I
look at it, because the only chance you got is, I guess, if you're defenders and you're standing up behind and trying to push. That's the part is, Jalen's a problem and Josh a problem on its own. It's nothing that can be done about it with whoever they're tied in and Saquon Barkley and another. I've seen the Bills bring in another offensive lineman or D lineman and line him up back there. I've seen them bring in Ed Oliver and line him up back there and shove him forward. That part to me is the part that is shaky to me.
The pushback is obviously going to be right, then just stay out of third and two. I mean, they stay out of third and short. That's going to be the overall football response, is stay out of it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. Because I understand. I agree with you that it's unstoppable. But it's like, if it's that big of a problem, I need to see more than two teams that are just absolutely great at it. Like, if it's that easy to execute, to the point where people want to outlaw it because it's too much of an advantage, then I need to see the other 30 teams have such level of success doing it as well.
I just, like, for me, and I know we got, but the, you know, the NFL, and it drives me nuts every week, the officials will allow the progress to be stopped they will, I mean, on regular plays, they will allow it. It swear to God, it seems like they're going to allow it until the offense gets a first down. Until the offense, they will allow 6-7 guys to come push a runner forward. That's a wrinkle they need to watch. That to me is you're not, the runner's no longer doing this himself.
Mm-mm.
It is, that's my part, because many times they may stop Jalen and them initially, but what gets them over the top is they got two big ass dudes behind them shoving them in the back to do it. And that's my part.
Got a all big right. ass.
Yeah, they are. Thank you. That's Roger Clemens has a big ass is what Caserio had to say. All right, Clint's going to really help us understand something the Texans are doing. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Can't pull what off?
Because Mahomes is...
Why would I turn that mic on?
Try it again. Show just mad because Dad Bod Mahomes can't pull it off. Pool. Ron just mad because Mahomes is not good at the tush push.
Oh.
That is awesome.
Sounds like a fan of a team that just got their butts whooped by the Eagles. Listen, I'm going to tell you this very clearly. One.
Hold on, Joe.
It had nothing to do with a tush push of why the Chiefs lost and got their ass kicked.
They actually stopped it once, didn't they?
No, they didn't. But
the controversial spot, wasn't it?
No, nah, they stopped. They stopped Josh.
Oh, that's right. It was Josh.
They stopped the Bills a couple of times, but they stopped the Bills. The Bills weren't on a couple of those. They weren't pushing. They didn't have the guy behind them, the two guys behind them pushing. A couple of them. No, listen. First off, the Chiefs have been to the Super Bowl 3 straight years. I think they've been fine. And won 2 of them. So I think the Chiefs have been all right.
Bundle of Ruski doo.
I legit have an issue with the forward progress, and I mean the wide interpretation of when that ends. And then forward progress on somebody that is no longer moving, that we then just say, hey man, these two guys just keep running them through. Keep pushing them through. And watch the Ravens and other teams. I think should do this. If you don't feel confident, your quarterback can. The Ravens have just started doing it with Mark Andrews, right? Like I said, if he can take the snap, let Joe Mixon go up there and take that thing.
I wasn't going
to 12 million.
I love Joe Mixon.
I'd have gone to Cade Stover before I did that. If he can do it, let Joe Mixon take the snap and let Tim Settle or somebody come behind him and shove him forward. That's just the only part of it to me is just catapulting another player to just run through there.
CJ got a big lower half. He ought to be able to get in that squat rack, move some weight around, and then be an advantage.
And then it changes the game when you say, hey, Danielle Hunter and Foley Fatakasi, come back behind him, and you just keep pushing his ass until they blow the whistle.
That's it, baby.
That's
it.
Like I've watched the Eagles. I mean, they will get 4 or 5 yards deep, just off the pushing of it. That's the part for me. Yeah, had nothing to do with the Chiefs. Whatever. Someone said no one is tripping. Teams are tripping. There have been teams for a couple of years now who have talked about trying to find a way to potentially get that thing changed. But we'll see. We'll see if they're successful. I'm with you. I don't think they'll completely take it away if they do anything to it. All right, Clint, what does it mean to you? Explain and help the people kind of understand. We've got the understanding the Texans are not making wholesale changes on the offensive coaching staff. In fact, really, they're just adding two new guys, right? And they're adding the new OC, Nick Caley, and then Jerry Skoplinski, the new offensive assistant passing game specialist. He comes from the Rams. Before that, he was with the Patriots. For you, what does this mean overall, whether it be for the future and the how the scheme will look moving forward, what it means overall? What does this mean? How they handle the offensive coaching staff.
Yeah, I got two things for you out of the gate. One, Bobby Slowick, they feel like Bobby Slowick was the damn problem, clearly. Number two, Absolutely. Anybody that tries to sell you that Nick Caserio isn't building this offense his way it is going to look plumb silly trying to tell you that. This is Nick Caserio, and this is Nick Caserio's guys. How silly would it be for D'Amico Ryans to go out and hire three different dudes that all were in the same building with Nick Caserio and all have spent the majority of their NFL career coaching careers in New England with Nick Caserio? How silly would it be for D'Amico Ryans to
be two of them, John Carroll guys?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just like to think that this isn't a Nick Caserio-driven move here on the offensive side of the football is silly. So Bobby Sloak was the problem. Nick Caserio's driving the boat at this point in time on the offensive side of the football. Now, let's get to football and what really matters. There's two things here, right? The guys they hired and they plugged in, there's two things that they can accomplish that I think is unique to this particular group of guys being hired. One, because they've all spent time in either Bobby Slowick's system last year, Cole Popovich, the new offensive line coach, or they come out of the Rams organization for the last couple of years, Sean McVay, which is Nick Caley and Jerry Skolinski, right? Both of those guys, in other words, they learned the language that the Houston Texans football players, the team, the offense already is speaking and has been speaking for 2 years now. The guys, when you pluck them out of those two organizations, whether it's, again, retaining Cole Popovich or it's bringing your OC and another coach from the Rams, what you do is you keep the same language, because Sean McVay, Bobby Slowick, Shanahan, all these guys are speaking the same language. Now, there may be slight differences, but they're all speaking the same language, right? So you're plugging in new decision makers, new play callers, new designers, but they all speak the same language that your players speak. And then the end game is for this offense to use the same language, but look more like what Tom Brady and the New England Patriots did.
So you're talking back about a flat mix, like a mix of these two systems, which I guess one's a game plan system, and then obviously the traditional.
I think the end game is to be a game plan offense using the terminology of Bobby Slowick, Shanahan, McVay, that all these guys already know. That way you ease the transition in terms of not having to teach your players a new language. But you then have the flexibility because your coaches know what was going on in New England. Now, using this language, they can do New England Patriots things, offensive Brady, offense-like things. So I think those are the two important pieces here. The language stays the same, and the end game is they look like the New England Patriots, Tom Brady offense.
All right, Clint, I want to get this from you on the other side. With these changes, or, hey, maybe it's a lot of changes, or maybe to some, the lack of very many changes, but what they're doing, what they've decided to do with this offensive staff, after you just explained it, do you think this is a good thing? Do you think this is something that makes you feel better about what this offense will be able to do in terms of improvement from last year? I want to get your thoughts on that on the other side.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous, but I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That's next.
Live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. And I do want to bring that back up we were talking about, Clint, because I am intrigued if you, because you laid it out, and we'll help folks who missed that earlier. We'll relay that out for you real quick. Coming up behind us, remember, the fellas will take over as we'll get a little Texans all access. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, and they'll talk about the biggest stories coming up at the combine. After that, Area 45 is rolling tonight, so stay tuned for that. And we'll get to T-Mill's best bets here in just a bit. But I do want to get from you if you think this is something that's making you feel better about seeing the necessary improvements from last year to kind of re-look at this. The first thing for you is kind of where we're going off of this coaching staff that they have decided to employ. It's really just two new faces, and the rest stays the same. One, it feels like this was a Bobby Slowick problem in their eyes last year. Second, the language of the offense stays the same. We have so many guys that were all there last year. The end game is the Brady Patriots offense is where they'll try to get to, and that Nick Caserio, in your minds, is involved in building it this way. So that would be the latest. That would be how you view how they're handling the coaching staff. With that being said, Clint, do you feel good about this team improving from last year offensively? Does this make you feel good the way they're going about it?
Yeah, yeah. Look, I've obviously would prefer they hire a guy that's got pelts on the wall and hand the reins over to him and get the hell out of the way. Nick and D'Amico both. That's what I would prefer. Now, obviously, maybe that guy wasn't available. Maybe they weren't interested in that guy. They didn't go that route. So you look now, what is the fear of changing coordinators, generally speaking, is you change languages, you start completely over from the ground up, which is a tremendous setback if you have to indeed do that. This way, the way they have built this thing, this coaching staff, they have, you know, in theory, they have put their this team in a position where the players don't have to learn anything new. All they got to do is go into training camp, and everything's still the same as it was from a terminology and a language standpoint, but the plays are just going to be built different and
so
called
you,
different.
You think this is a deal that more Nick Caley is going to have to learn the language and the plays?
I think the smart part of bringing Nick Caley in is Nick Caley already knows the language because he's been in L.A. with the Rams and McVay's system for 2 years, so he knows the language. That's my overall point. Hiring these guys and retaining these particular coaches allows you to install the New England Patriot offense without having to change the language. Because the guys that you either retained, Cole Popovich, the offensive line coach, he knows the same terminology the players in Houston already know. And you look at McVay and what's my man's name?
Oh, Nick
Jerry.
Jerry Skoplinski.
Skoplinski. There you go. They've been in McVay's system, so they know the language is the same in Shanahan and McVay's and Slowick's and LaFleur's and all these guys in McDaniels. Like it's all not exactly the same, but it's all the same language, right? With just a couple of tweaks here or there. So nobody has to learn a new language, and the guys that you have on the offensive side of the football, all of them that are new. And some of them that you retained all have the majority of their NFL coaching career was spent in New England. And so now those guys can take the terminology that everybody in the building knows and is different from New England, but they can transition it into what New England was doing offensively, apply the same principles using a different language. And so nobody's learning a new language, but the offense is going to shift to look more like what New England was doing. And yes, I think if you're going to go the route that they're going, instead of cleaning house and bringing in a whole new system, if you're going to try to have carryover with new decision makers, I think the way in which they've constructed this thing gives them a chance to take a step forward. Yes.
Okay. All right.
It's still a zero experience with Nick Caley. It's still a, hey man, we don't know really who CJ Stroud is yet, right? There's still a, man, what are we going to do with the wide receiver position beyond Nico? What are you going to do with the tight end position with Dalton? What are you going to do with the offensive line? All of those problems still exist, but in just transitioning from one offense, how can you get the Texans offense to look more like the New England Patriots with Tom Brady? The way you do that, you hire guys with a Brady background that have been in a similar system that you're in right now from a language perspective so that there's no slowdown where people are don't understand what the hell's going on.
So trying to keep – so clearly they felt like this was an offense and a staff that was the right fit. They just felt like they needed to make the one major move. And that major move comes with the flexibility of moving towards more the Brady style of
Bingo.
Offense.
Without changing the language, yes. Yep. Like right now, I think Nick Caley and CJ Stroud, they call a 3-by-1 formation, you know, with a slide protection a certain way and a certain combination outside. They call it the same thing right now. It was called something different in New England with Tom Brady, right? This coaching staff is going to take whatever it was called in New England back in the day, and they're going to put it in the language that the Texans are speaking right now. And it's up to the coaches to do that. You don't have to reteach. Sure, you may teach some new concepts and stuff, but you do that anyway. But you don't have to reteach this word means this. They know what the words mean already, right? I mean, every formation, every offense has the same formations, the same motions, the same protections. They just typically all call them something different. Nick Caley gives you the opportunity to change offenses and keep the same language. That's the kicker. That's the plus here. And I think it could end up being a huge plus for the Texans.
And that's how they view it.
Can it counter? Can it counter the fact that Nick Caley's never called offensive plays? We'll see.
All right. As some people roll in here, as someone said, text in. I'm a simple man, guys. What I hear is the Texans are blending two offensive systems, each of which have failed with the Texans on their own, but blending them is going to make things better. Is that about it? I don't get it other than the familiar lingo.
You make, well, that's all you need to get. That's all we know right now. You make really good points. Like those two offenses have, let's be honest.
One is with Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly.
The Brady offense has worked with one guy, Brady, right? I mean, but yes, that's the you are absolutely correct. You're blending two offenses. Yes, the history of those two offenses are Bill O'Brien and Bobby Slowick. Neither one of them were very impressive here. Neither one of them had any kind of staying power and consistently were good. It seems like they had quarterback, both had great quarterbacks, but they had problems with the quarterbacks as well. And yes, the common ground is they speak the same language. They're going to be able to make that transition without having to change the language they're speaking. Yes, very good text. All right. Spot on. You are exactly right.
You got it.
Doesn't guarantee a damn thing. You're still looking at the fact that you've got a play caller that's never called plays. That's still the elephant in the room. That's still the biggest question mark here.
Texans All Access coming up behind us, as well as Area 45. But right now, we're going to go ahead and try to make you all a little cash, a little money with T-Mill's Best Bets. Coming off the weekend, you gave us five. You did all right. You were above 500 in that five, but let's see if we can make a little cash tonight.
Yes, sir. New week. Monday means a new slate of best bets. As always here lately, going to roll with NBA, and I got five more for you on a Monday night. Going to list them off. Hope your pens and pencils are ready.
Oh, no. Gonna list them off.
And if you miss any of these, you can always check my Twitter, @TMillRealDeal, because I post them there as well. First off, Thunder in the first half against the Timberwolves tonight. -7 for OKC. I like that one. Next, I got the Wizards +3 against the Brooklyn Nets tonight. Then I got an under for you. Blazers, they're traveling to Utah to take on the Jazz. Under 232.5 points in that one.
Mm.
Then I got two player props for you. Both of these player props coming from that Thunder-Minnesota matchup tonight. First, you know him. And if you've been following Best Bets long, you know that we've made some money on this type of prop right here. SGA Gilgeous Alexander.
That's a hell of a number.
Over 31.5 points for SGA and the Thunder tonight. And then lastly here, Anthony Edwards with the Minnesota Timberwolves in that same game. Under 6.5 rebounds for Ant tonight. What do you like? What do you don't, boys?
That SGA over is a high number, but boy, he gets close every night, doesn't he? It ain't like he ain't going to flirt with it, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, the couple I've missed on him, I mean,
it's half a point.
It's been a bad beat, yeah.
Well, yeah, and this is that deal of them playing them back-to-back. So they just played them, and they're going to play the Timberwolves again. What'd he do? Yeah, he had 37-8 in their last game, and
it turns me on.
Minnesota desperately needs this game. As they would be dropping 0-3 coming out of the break if they lose it. So, but he is becoming routine in his scoring. Where, hey man, he's like, I'm getting 10 here. It's becoming routine, and you know he'll get the shots up. So I do. I like the SGA one. Go ahead, make that cash.
Let's go.
Get some cash this evening here. I'm still thinking on that Blazers Jazz one. Some teams like to get up and down. They've been scoring a little bit, so we'll see. We'll see on that thing. All right, Clint, great job. As always, Tyler, great job. Shout out to Sean Pendergast, who joined us from West Palm Beach. We'll hear from him again. And have a good one out there. Stay tuned for Texans All Access and, of course, Area 45 following them. I am Ron, the show. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be.
You tell me right now, did Joe get in there? You tell me right now. Just tell me right now. What did you say?
Golly. Were they passing her around the locker room?
That's a tough one. No, I'm with you. Who else? Was she Cleet chasing?
Not that it matters, because, I mean, at that point, right? At that point, I'm done. I am. It just like, and I'm done, and I'm just, I got zero give a rip.
You tell me right now. Was it Helodinata?
Did T-Suggs get after it?
That's it. You tell me right now.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry?
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.